tithes, we're able to continue to reach and go out in Northeast Ohio and literally around the world in being able to share this vision that we want to lead people to reach and realize their full potential in Jesus Christ. As they are receiving the offering, we want to jump into our lesson this morning, and we're in a series called Weeds, and here's what we're learning. You don't have to do anything to cause a weed to grow. It will just automatically grow on its own. And so it is in your life and in my life. There are weeds that want to grow in your life and in my life that literally will choke out the life of every other good thing that God has for you and me. You see, God has a wonderful plan for you, wonderful plan for me. When he came in the person of Jesus Christ, he declared this. He says, "The thief has come to seek, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have life to the full." Jesus said, "I have come that you might have quantity of life, that you might live forever and ever with me, but also quality of life, that you may enjoy life right here on earth." And yet he also declared that you and I have an enemy. And he wants to come and he wants to sow things in your life that will literally choke out the life that God wants to give you, that is satisfying, that is complete, that is filled with joy. And so for you and I to make sure that does not happen, because you and I have a role in it, we learn that you have to, above all else, guard your heart. For everything that you do flows from it. The wisest man on earth, apart from Jesus Christ, said those words. And though Jesus Christ has come so that you and I could have life and life to the full, how many people do you know experience that life? It's satisfying, it's fulfilling, it's complete. The reason why not enough people are experiencing it is because we have weeds that are growing in our lives, in our heart, if you will, that chokes that life out. And so we're saying you've got to guard your heart. And this morning we're talking about anxiety. Do I have your attention? Absolutely. Because the fact of the matter is the medical field has gone crazy in this one arena called anxiety. Do you know that Ohio State University has one complete area that they deal with nothing else than people who battle anxiety? I mean, it's just rampant. If we took a poll here this morning and I would ask you, how many of us in this room battle anxiety? We would probably be shocked with the hands that would go up. And when you live in anxiety, you don't experience life to the fullest. Would you agree with me? And so this is a serious issue in people's lives today. And so I got a question for us this morning. How many of us have thought this to ourselves? If my paycheck were bigger, if I could just find the right person to be with me in my life, if I could just get that promotion, if my health was better, I'd have nothing to worry about. How many of us have thought that? How many of us has said that over in our mind? But here's what I want us to understand this morning. Even if your bank account, even if your relationships, even if your career or physical condition were exactly the way in which you wanted it to be, would that really eliminate your anxiety and your worries and your fears? If you had everything the way that you wanted it, no, it wouldn't. You see, the bottom line is this. The way in which you deal with anxiety, the way in which you deal with worry, the way in which you deal with fear is that you must change the way in which you think. It all starts here. The most powerful thing that you have is your mind. Is your mind. And when Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart, he's not talking about your physical heart. He's talking about the core of of where all of your decisions are made. Your emotions, your will, your feelings. Because everything that you do, everything that you do flows from your heart. Not your physical heart, but the core of who you are. And so Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Your belief affects your behavior. The way in which you behave is determined by what you believe. And so that's why we have to guard our heart. Because whatever influences your beliefs influences your behavior. And it can be for the good or it can be for the bad. That's why 2 Corinthians tells us to take every thought captive. Every thought captive. Why? Because you are who you believe you are. And make it obedient to Christ. Now, the way in which you deal with this weed that we're calling anxiety today is this. You must have true knowledge about who God is, and you must have true knowledge about who you are as his son or daughter if you have trusted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. The day in which you trust Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you now are adopted into the family of God. Your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, and you now are part of God's family. And he is no longer just a creator. He is no longer just God. He now is your father. He's your father. He's your perfect heavenly father who provides for you and who protects you. And so the key to dealing with anxiety is knowing God as your father and knowing who you are as his child. Now, Neil Anderson has a saying, and it's there in your notes. It's this: biblical mental health begins with a true knowledge of God and who we are as his children. It begins with knowing God as your father and then realizing who you are as his son or daughter. Now, Neil Anderson would say this, that 90% of your anxiety and my anxiety, 90% of your worries and your fears happen in your life and my life because of our software. 10% happens because of your hardware. Now, hardware means there's nothing you can do about it. It's just a physical ailment. But he would suggest that most of your anxiety, most of my anxiety, most of your worries, most of my worries, most of your fears, most of my fears cannot be solved through medication. 10%, yes. It is a physical defect in you or me. But 90% it can't. Because here's what he would believe, and I would believe it too. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. We are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. And what happens is when you live in this world, we treat everything from a what? Physical standpoint. If you got a problem, if I got a problem, it's not a spiritual problem. It's a what? It's a physical problem. That's why Ohio State has a whole unit for nothing but anxiety, worry, and fear. And this world, Jesus said, you will have trials and tribulations, so this world is unsure, right? It's ever-changing, so guess what? It's fertile ground for you and I to live a life full of anxiety, worry, and fear, because there's not much you can count on in this world. Would you agree with me? So guess what the enemy does? Guess what the thief does who comes to seek, kill, and destroy? He tells you lies. And he not only tells you lies, he feeds upon your fears. If an usher would come to you right now and whisper in your ear about something that just happened, said, hey, we need you right now, we just got a phone call. You need to get home immediately because such and such happened. what would happen to your body? What would happen to your emotions? What would happen to you? You would be overcome with what? Anxiety, fear, worry. And then by the time they got you to the parking lot, they would say, April Fools, I know I'm behind, but April Fools. What would happen? I was just kidding. What would happen? Your whole demeanor would change, would it not? Now it would go from anxiety, worry, to fear to what? Anger. Grant you that. But the fact of the matter is you would no longer be worried, right? You would no longer be full of anxiety. But why were you full of anxiety and worry and fear? Let me tell you why. Because you believed a lie. See, I can play with your emotions all morning long. And that's what Satan does. See, Satan only has two weapons. Do you understand that? Two weapons. If you're a son or a daughter of the living God, Satan can't mess with you but in two ways. Now, if you don't belong to God, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then your father's not God. Your father's the devil. Hello? And he is stealing and killing and destroying you. That's what Scripture says. So don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, then what you need to understand and what you need to realize is this. The only way that Satan can get at you is through fear and through lies. So how do we conquer those two? How do you conquer lies? You know the what? The truth. Because anytime you know the truth, the lie is powerless. And Scripture tells us you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. So let me ask you a question this morning. How free are you of anxiety, of worry, and fear? Oh, Dwight, gee, many Christmas. You know, I'm not very free. Then you're believing a bunch of lies. And I want to give you the truth this morning. How fearful are you? The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear in 1 John. Now, what is perfect love? It's this. That while you and I were yet sinners, while you and I were ungodly, while you and I had absolutely nothing to offer to God, He demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you more, and there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you less. Is that perfect love? You bet it is. And no one else in your life gives that to you except for a holy God who's perfect in all of His ways. And so Neil Anderson would say, and I don't have time to go through it all, so I just gave it to you this morning. All right, Neil Anderson gives us a picture of God as my Father. He tells us the truth about who God is, that He's loving and that He's kind. But then he says we all have filters, and here's the filters that we put life through. Ignorance of truth, those who have taught false doctrine, thoughts of deceiving spirits, unhealthy interpersonal relationships, poor role models such as authority figures, especially parents. And so what happens is we put that truth through that filter, and we end up believing a lie, that God is unconcerned and that He's mean and unforgiving. And so what we have to do is we have to embrace the truth about God. And embracing the truth about God, it empowers you and I to deal with our fears and the lies that Satan wants to speak to you and me. And what that does, it sets us free from anxiety and worry and fear. And then we need to see ourselves as a child of God. And it's the same way. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. I want to explain that diagram for you and me through Scripture. Through Scripture. Because they say that 50%, at least 50% of all Americans regularly deal with anxiety, worry, and fear. And what happens is this. In America today, because we don't have a true knowledge of who God is, we address all of our ailments in the physical realm. And yet the fact of the matter is we're more spiritual than we are physical. And so Jesus in Luke chapter 12, he tells us how you and I can begin to live a life free of anxiety, worry, and fear. Because I know what you're asking this morning. You're saying, okay, Dwight, I get it. I battle anxiety. Dwight, I get it. I battle worry. I get it. I battle fear. But how is it possible for me to be free from anxiety, worry, and fear? Well, what you have to understand is the matter is your heart. That's why you got to guard it, because everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. And so we want to look at Luke chapter 12. But before we do that, I want you to hear this story of a very courageous young man who is battling this and yet is finding victory and hope and healing because he's developing a true knowledge of God and a true knowledge of who he is as God's son. Watch this morning.
I was at the end of my rope. I was on my knees, desperate for God to take control. As a child, anxiety was basically treated as a mental defect. Doctors just wanted to give me medication. Psychologists just wanted to kind of work with me through different situations that I was dealing with. And none of it seemed to really work. The medicine really just kind of took away my personality. My mom would constantly tell me, and people around us, that I'm just not the same kid that I was. I was down, I was depressed, and I just wasn't as bubbly or energetic as I used to be. After seeking medical advice and counseling, I decided to take a little bit of a different route, and I met with one of our family friends, Ron Frizzell, who is a pastor in Worcester, Ohio. I just asked him one night if he'd sit down with me and pray with me about the anxiety and the stuff I've been dealing with. And during the prayer, Pastor Ron told me something that I'll never forget. He told me that God wanted me to know that I was destined for something great. And at the time, I didn't really know what that meant. But the more that I reflected on it, God really pressed upon my heart that I'm supposed to be a worship leader. One day at school, we had a festival on campus, and we were getting prepped, ready to go and leave our dorm to go out to this festival, and just out of nowhere, I started having anxiety symptoms, and they were far stronger than what I had dealt with in the past. My hands were sweating, my heart was racing faster than I think I've ever felt it beat before. I lost my vision for a little bit, my ears. I couldn't hear nearly as well. I was shaking to the point where I couldn't even hold myself up. And I honestly just didn't know what to do. The nurse wheeled me into the room and laid me down in the bed. And I just laid there by myself for a few minutes. And just all I remember is reaching out to God and just praying that whatever the circumstances are, whatever this is, that he would give me some kind of an answer. The doctor came in shortly after the nurse left, and he just basically looked at me, and I remember this just like it was yesterday. He looked me right in the face and told me that there was absolutely nothing that he could do for me. Not one thing. I laid there just completely broken. I was confused just with how God could allow something like this to happen to me. Being at the end of my rope, where I had nothing left to lose, I basically just started digging into the Bible and digging into God's word about anxiety, about fear, about the things, the way that he directs us to handle these situations. The more and more I dig into it, I'm learning that God is not the author of fear, and that he didn't give us a spirit of fear, and that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. God is the only way that I was going to get out of this. That the only way that I was going to be able to combat this fear was to completely trust and rely on Him. I know this isn't a typical story. Most stories have a problem, and then you're offered a solution. I don't have the fix-all for anxiety. This will be a lifelong thing that I'll be dealing with. It's not something that God wants for me in my life, but I understand that through His power and through His love and grace, that He's given me the ability to combat this.
That's incredible, isn't it? And you know what? The courage that he has exhibited is unbelievable. I've watched Brandon, and he is growing leaps and bounds in being able to deal with this weed called anxiety. And did you hear what he said? He said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a what? Sound mind. Sound mind. And so what I want to do for the remaining time that I have, I want to share with you the truth about who God is as your father and who you are as his son or daughter, or who you can be as his son or daughter. Luke chapter 12. This is basically a parallel of Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus is speaking this a little bit later, because I believe when Jesus was walking on planet Earth, he kept seeing all these people who were being eaten up alive by anxiety, worry, and fear. And he said, you know what? I need to pull out my old message on this, and I need to say it over and over and over again. So he brings us back here and his followers to this thing about anxiety. And in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 4, it says this. Jesus says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed the body, has the authority to cast it into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the number of hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So Jesus kicks off Luke chapter 12 with this. He deals with the ultimate anxiety factor, and that is death. And you know what he says? Don't fear the one who can kill the body and after that can do no more. Fear the one who can kill the body and has the authority to place it in hell. Now, who has that authority? Only one being, God himself. And what he is saying is this: if you will have a rightful fear, and fear does not mean, oh, I'm scared. Fear means a respect, an awe, an allegiance. He is saying here, if you will have that towards God, guess what? He will expel all other fears in your life. If you fear God in a rightful way, a respectful way, a way of reverence, a way of allegiance, a way of surrender, what he is saying is, then guess what? You don't have anything else to fear. That's what he's saying here. And then he goes on to deal with the fear of man. And in verses 8 and 10, he says, you know what? You don't have to fear man. And then he goes on and he says, and you don't have to fear speaking in public. He talks about that. And then he says, you don't even have to fear of not having enough. He tells about the rich man who had a great harvest, who decided to build bigger barns because he was afraid that he wouldn't have enough for the future. And he died that night. And so Jesus is dealing with every fear that man has. And he was saying this: if you know God as your father, okay, I grew up in a home, I feared my father. I wasn't afraid that he was going to abuse me. I wasn't afraid that he was going to mistreat me. I had a respect for my father. So I listened to him. I followed him. I obeyed him. That's the kind of fear that he's talking about here. And that when you have that, guess what? You don't have to fear anything else. You will not fear anything else, because you will truly know who God is, that he's a provider, that he's a protector. And so with that in mind, Jesus goes into his sermon here. And he says three times, he says, do not be anxious, do not keep worrying, and do not be afraid. So let's pick it up at verse 22. It's there in your notes. Here's what Jesus wants you and I to know in light of the fact that he's called you and I not to fear death, not to fear man, not to fear public speaking, not to fear having not enough. Here's what he says. He says you first have to understand God's priority. You have to understand his priority. Look what he says here. He says, therefore, and therefore means in light of everything that I just said, get this. Therefore, I tell you, do not be what? Anxious or worried or fretful about what? About your life. What causes us the greatest anxiety in life? Our life. Right? He says here, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. What he is saying is, you're not just a physical being. If you were just a physical being, well, then life would be about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you have. He is saying, is not life more than that? You're more spiritual than you are physical. And so what he is saying here is this. You have to understand God's priority. And God did not create you and me to survive. He created us to thrive. But too many of us think that life is all about surviving. And so we worry. And we live in a state of fear or anxiety. You see, God didn't create you just to eat and wear clothes. Your life is far more than eating. Your life is far more than clothing. And you must, listen, if you're going to deal with this weed called anxiety, you must understand that you're his priority. And 2,000 years ago, he proved it when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to die for you. The Bible says that you were not purchased with silver or gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What does that say about you and me? We're his top priority. There is nothing more important to God than you and me. That's what he is saying here. And that God has a plan for your life. And he will feed you and he will clothe you until his plan is complete in you. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And his priority is that you live out that purpose. And so for you and I to deal with anxiety, we have to understand that we're God's priority. Do you know that? What did we read earlier? He knows the number of hairs on your head, and even the ones that went down the shower this morning. If he's that detailed about you and me, would you not say that we're his priority? And he says, you know, the sparrows, you know, you can buy five of them for 2 pennies. Are you not much more valuable than they are? You see, the truth is this. God loves you and you are valuable to him. And you have to understand that. And anxiety, being free from that, is knowing that you're God's priority. You know, listen, my kids don't worry about squat. You know why? Because they know that they're my priority. They know that their daddy's going to take care of them. And so it is with you and me, with God. And so Jesus, in his message, saying, you have to understand his priority. His priority is you. And then he says, you have to understand his provision. His provision. That everything you and I have comes from God. Now, you may have worked. You may have saved, you may have been diligent, but the fact you may be talented, but the fact of the matter is that all comes from God. That all comes from God. And we have to understand his provision. Look what he says here. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap nor have barns to store in, yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more valuable you are than birds. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that you're more valuable than a bird? And he says this, consider his provision. Birds do not sow and they do not harvest, yet they lack what? Nothing. They lack nothing. The fact of the matter is, they don't need your bird feeder. It's kind and it's nice, but they're not alive because of your bird feeder. Hello? They're alive because God has determined that they are alive. And he says here, are you not much more valuable than those birds that can't sow and can't reap and they can't store? And what he is saying is this, you're God's priority and he will supply you with his provision until you reach your purpose, until you reach your plan. That's what he is saying here. And so worrying about life's necessities is a failure to understand God's priority and God's provision. And then he says, we're not only his priority and his provision, but we need to understand his privilege. Look what it says here, his privilege. And which of you, by being anxious, by being worried, by fretting, can add a single hour to his lifespan? They must have all chuckled when they heard that. If then you not being able to do as small a thing as that, why are you so anxious about the rest of your life? Wow. You know what he is saying here? You can't even add an hour to your day. So what are you doing worrying about all of life? You're worrying about things you can't control. And when you worry about things you can't control, guess what builds up inside of you and me? Anxiety. Fear. And what he is saying is, it's God's privilege. Do you know, listen, I'm going to tell you something that's going to rock your world. You cannot lengthen your life. I know we're on a health kick because we're trying to treat the what? The physical. But there's not one thing you can do to lengthen your life. Not one. That's why Moses said, that we are to what? Number our days. We are to, now listen, sin can shorten your life, but you can't do anything to lengthen your life. God has given you a number of days here on earth. And you say, I don't like that. That's your problem. See, you're trying to be God. And when you try to be God, what happens is your life will be full of anxiety, worry, and fear. Until you what? Until you rightfully fear God and surrender to God and say, God, you know what? You're the one who is in charge, not me. And so he says here, he says, you can't even add a single hour to your life. So what on earth are you doing worrying about the rest of your life? What he is saying is, why don't you get around living life? See, too many of us are counting our years instead of making our years count. Do you know the most successful man that ever walked on planet Earth only lived to be 33 years old? His name was Jesus. Some of us die at the age of 33. We're just buried at the age of 83. You'll get that sometime. You know why? Because we're not living. You know why? Because we're worrying. Our lives are full of anxiety. We're afraid. And so you have to understand his priority. It's you. You have to understand his provision. He'll take care of you. You have to understand his privilege. He will determine. Listen, I've had cancer and I've had 5 bypasses, and I'm not going anywhere until my days are done, until my days are finished. So why should I worry about having another heart attack? All that's going to do is rob me of the day that I have today, and I can't enjoy it. I'll be so worthless that, you know what, I don't have anything to give to my wife or kids. And then I'll moan and complain why I didn't have more time. And the fact of the matter is I was so stressed out and worried and fearful that I didn't embrace the days that I did have. Y'all okay? See, it's a terrible thing to want to be God, and so many of us want to be God. And I can help you with your anxiety this morning and your worry and fear just by surrendering and just by acknowledging I'm not God and you are, and I want to serve you and I want to trust you. And you know what? I'm not going to understand everything, and it's your privilege. You see, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthy. You just need to understand that the fact of the matter is you have a number of days here on planet Earth. So make them count. Make them count. Don't worry about what you don't have. embrace what you do have. And then he says here, you not only need to understand his privilege, but his preference. Now, I know we live in a society today that teaches evolution, okay? And that really there's no difference between you and me and an animal, okay? But the fact of the matter is there's a wide gap between you and me and an animal. There's a wide gap between you and me and the monkey, okay? And the fact of the matter is God has created the animals, and he said it was good. But when he created mankind, you know what he said? It's very good. It's very good. It's another level. It's another notch. It's a whole different species of being. And Jesus did not die for my dog, okay? You said you believe dogs are in heaven? That's what I'm told, okay? All dogs go to heaven, right? All right, but the fact of the matter is only you and I can go to heaven if we trust Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. So we have to understand his preference. Look what it says here. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, the wealthiest man in all of the earth, in all of his glory, were not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O you of what? Little faith. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be what? Worried. Nor be worried. You see, there's two things that most of us worry about. Nourishing the body and protecting the body. And God says, you know what? I will take care of that. You're my preference. Consider the lilies. They're beautiful. You know, we have people come to Tuscarawas and Holmes County just to look at the creation. And maybe some of you have gone to different states to look at flowers. They're only going to be here about 6 weeks, maybe 90 days at the best. They're here and gone. And God says, you know what, if I do that much for the flower, if I make them that beautiful that it causes people to want to take pictures of them and drive around and look at them, are you not much more valuable than they are? They're here and they're gone. You're going to live when? Forever, because everybody spends forever somewhere. And so I'm his preference. Don't you like to be a preferred customer? Isn't that your goal in life? I want to be a preferred customer. I want to be treated well. I want to be thought of well. I want to be taken care of well. Well, what he says here is you have to understand you are. You're a preferred customer with God. He prefers you over the lilies that are arrayed with beauty. And when you understand that, you know what that does? That frees us up. But he says here, oh, you of little faith. He's saying, don't you trust my knowledge? Don't you trust my provision? Don't you trust my wisdom? Don't you trust my compassion? Don't you trust me? What is it about me that you don't trust? You're my preference. You're the apple of my eye. I've redeemed you. I've paid the greatest price for you. And if I gave you my son, Jesus Christ, will I not also give you all things? And then we have to understand his personhood, he says. And what is his personhood? He's God the Father. Look what it says here. For all the nations of the world, or all the pagans of the world, seek after these things. What things? The things that cause us to worry and to fret and to fear and to be anxious about. Check this out. Here's the contrast. And your what? Somebody help me. And your Father knows that you what? Need them. Instead, seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. You see, we have to understand his personhood. He says, you know what? All these nations, they're seeking after this stuff. The people who don't know me seek after this stuff. They fret and they worry and they get anxious about it and they're fearful about it. But your Father already knows that you need them. And we know that he has the power to deliver. So if he has the power to deliver and he knows that you need them, what will he do? He will deliver. And you have to understand God is your Father. Now, I realize some of us, you know what? And I've had people tell me this. If he's anything like my father, I don't want to know him. Because your father was aloof. He was indifferent. You were not his preference. You were not his priority. But I'm telling you, that's your earthly father. I'm talking about a perfect father, a heavenly father who has demonstrated. And who is he? He is who he says he is, and he will do what he has promised to do. And when you catch this, that he is your father and he's perfect, then you know what? You don't have anything to worry about. Listen, my kids don't worry about squat. They've never come to me and say, "Dad, you know what? I'm really concerned about a mortgage. You know, I'm really concerned what we're going to eat tomorrow. I'm really concerned if we're going to have clothes on our back." No! You know why? Because they know that they're my priority. They know that my preference is towards them. They know their daddy. And when you know your daddy, your heavenly father, you know what? It sets you free. So it's not a question of power or resources or love or compassion. It's just a question of knowledge. Do you know God is your father? And if God knows that you need it, and isn't that the big issue? Then guess what? He'll deliver it to you. And then Jesus goes on. Let me give you these last two. You need to understand his pleasure. Look what he says here. "Fear not, little flocks, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Wow. What is the kingdom? Let me tell you what the kingdom is. Write this down. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Anybody interested in that? Peace and joy. And what he wants to do is he wants to give you his kingdom. It's his pleasure. It's his delight. He wants you. He does not want you to live in this world full of anxiety and worry and fear and fret. It's his pleasure. He says, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And the kingdom is peace and joy. And then finally, you're saying, "Well, Dwight, if that's so true, why isn't everybody running for it? Why isn't everybody going for it? Why isn't everybody embracing this?" And no doubt when Jesus was teaching this day, there was a buzz all throughout because they worried about what they were going to eat every day. They worried about their clothing. They worried about all that. And there was a buzz. Well, tell us the answer. And here's his proposal. And you have to understand his proposal. Check it out. "Sell your possessions and give to the needy," or give to charity. "Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that do not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys." Check this out. "For where your treasure is, there is your what?" What did we say at the beginning? Guard your heart, for out of it flows everything you do. Here's his proposal to you. His proposal is for you to put him in his rightful place. That you won't trust in your possessions, but you will trust in his personhood, that he is God the Father. And when you do that and I do that, here's what I promise you. Your anxiety and your worry and your fear will go down. Oh, you're always going to battle it because we live in a broken world. We live in a troubled world, but your anxiety will go down. You know what I just shared with you this morning? I repeat it almost every day because I need to remind myself of this truth, because everything around me tells me it's a lie. But God tells me it's the truth. And when I believe the truth, I'm set free. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your word. And I thank you, God, that even though we live in a world filled with trouble and trials, things that would want to make us anxious, things that would want to make us fearful, things that would want us to be filled with anxiety, we thank you that when we know that we're your priority, when we know that we're your preference, and that you have provision for us, and that it's your pleasure to give us every good thing, when we put you in the rightful place, I pray that we would run to you and make this choice. And I pray it in Jesus' name, amen.
How long have I been in this storm? So overwhelmed by the ocean's shapeless form. Water's getting harder to tread. With these waves crashing over my head, If I could just see you, everything would be all right. If I'd see you, this darkness would turn to light. And I would walk on water, and you will catch me if I fall. And I will get lost into your eyes, and I know everything will be alright, and I know everything is alright. I know you didn't bring me out here to drown, so why am I 10 feet under? Upside down, barely surviving has become my purpose. 'Cause I'm so used to living underneath the surface. If I could just see you, everything would be alright. If I'd see you, this darkness would turn to light. And I would walk on water, and you will catch me if I fall. And I lost into your eyes, and I know everything will be alright, and I will walk on.